Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, So Bad It's Good is on the road. I am recording live from Chicago, Illinois, but this show still keeps going. So I am in an Airbnb. Hopefully the Wi-Fi signal holds up. But with me, a true professional, even though I got the time zone wrong, I thought I was in the New York time zone because that's how much of a mushy brain that I have. And I blame that mainly on Scandoval, which we'll talk about today, as well as many other things. Your favorite person is back with us, the one, the only, the person that is soon to be married, Sophie Ross. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Yeah. What so it goes Eastern time zone.
Oh, God.
And then Central, then Mountain.
I don't want to learn things. Then, like, listen, this is why I focus on reality shows. I don't want to learn. In fact, that's what I'm so pissed about, Scandoval and then Rachel suing all of a sudden. Like, I don't want another loss. I don't want to have to go through court documents. Like, what are you? This is insane. It's too much.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot to learn on the side.
Listen, we also have our personal lives. Like, I'm so livid at all, like, Bravo last week, just because I was going for my best friend's birthday, celebrating him. And then, like, Thursday, everything, like, the shit hit the fan in terms of the Rachel stuff. Oh, you had Beverly God. Hills episode, Summer House, Lindsay saying wild things to Carl. Like, too much is happening. You had an excellent episode of The Traitors. You had Love is Blind putting out two new episodes. And it's all good. But, like, I just want a chill week. And it just doesn't seem to exist anymore.
I know,
with Bravo.
Let us breathe. You know,
please.
Like, give us a beat.
Sophie, what happens if during your wedding something big breaks in terms of pop culture? I mean, it might mess up your entire wedding.
Wait, like, that's literally going to be you at my wedding. You're going to get like a breaking TMZ alert, and you're going to like stand up like you're wearing like a headpiece, like an AirPod during the ceremony. And then you have to like get up and rush out.
What if you have that part of your wedding where they're like, if anybody here has an objection, say something now. And I'm like, Sophie, I actually think the relationship is great, but there is breaking news. A 10th person has claimed to do illegal substances with Andy Cohen. I need you to report with me right now.
Oh, my God. Like, okay, so the thing about the Andy and Leah McSweeney lawsuit, if we could just jump right into it.
Sure.
Is that, like, it's not surprising. Like, obviously we know. Like, we know that happens. But at the same time, it's inappropriate. You know?
It's completely inappropriate. But there's also a couple of things. Leah wasn't a person that actually allegedly went skiing with Andy Cohen. She has just heard of housewives going skiing with Andy Cohen. And I will say, when you're at the top of that food chain like Andy is, those lines, you have to really make definitive boundaries as somebody that's perceived to be a boss, even though they are not, in actuality, he is not the head of Bravo, but it really blurs the lines. But also, Leah is a very interesting case because I just, today, hungover, I watched like a Nightline episode that she recorded back in, I think, November or December of 2023, where interview, Leah McSweeney, takes full responsibility for like her own drinking problem. You know, it's like, listen, you know, in AA, they talk about it is your responsibility. Nobody can make you drink or force you to drink, and, you know, takes responsibility for her issue. But then in her court documents, she now sings a different tune in saying that she felt pressured, she felt made fun of. And those are the things that I think sometimes hurt when, and I would say this about Rachel as well, in those court documents, her own testimony goes against what's in these court documents. And that's when I get a little confused thinking, is this potentially just a money grab, or you just trying to burn it all down because it sometimes doesn't strike like it's coming from the best place, because I am all for better mental health care. I'm all for better working conditions. It's just weird how all this stuff adds up in a certain way. And it does seem to be like the Brandy Glanvilles of the world, who I used to be a big fan of, but there's not a lot of personal responsibility being taken put in the plates.
Right. And a lot of it comes from being bitter. Like, you know, a lot of people are saying that Lia McSweeney is just bitter that she is not a Bravo girl anymore. Same with Brandy, and same with, you know, I think there was maybe some elements there with like Nene back in the day when she sued also.
Yeah. Right? Well, Sophie, also think about it with Lia McSweeney. She came back. What's that?
I was just going to say, it's like scorned lovers, you know, scorned.
Well, like, but she came back for us.
I do like appreciate, you know, what she's saying, I guess. Like, I understand it. Like, that's inappropriate. You shouldn't.
It is inappropriate. Well, it's inappropriate
by someone who is dictating your like job, you being employed, kind of, which she's not fully, but you know what I mean.
Well, what I'm saying is that with Andy, it's like there's independent production companies that produce each of these Housewives shows. You have Shed Media, you have Evolution Media, you have, Atlanta's done. Anyways, you have all these separate production companies that actually run the shows. Andy Cohen is informed on the shows, but he doesn't actually run these shows and hasn't for a long time. He's not even a producer on Vanderpump Rules. He's not a producer on a couple of shows on Bravo.
Right.
But the Lia McSweeney one is interesting just because she signed up for a second season when she was sober. She did that. It did not go well for her. She then put, you know, I don't know if she decided not to come back or she was put on pause, but then she decided to come back for an Ultimate Girls Trip because it was $250,000. She felt, though, in that time, people were making fun of her. People were trying to get her to drink. Heather Gay was on there going like, oh, let's try to make Lia drink. And people didn't really like her on Ultimate Girls Trip, but you did accept the money. You accepted the money after you said that second season was bad for your mental health. It was bad for so many reasons, but then you let years pass and then accepted the money. That's the part I don't get, is that like that would have been the time to do the lawsuit of, I will never come back because of this, this, and this, and this is why I am suing. Instead, you accepted that paycheck and then after the fact is suing. That's the part that I get a little confused on.
Yeah, you can't really get around that.
Well, in the legal system,
like, what are your intentions? If they offered you another $250,000 for another girls trip, are you going to say no? Like, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. And listen, and then it all breaks down to, and what we're getting to is, this is like the year anniversary of Scandoval. That it was today, Sunday. And I got to say, like,
a day that won't have been infamy.
Yeah, but what a dumb time. Like, my God. What'd you say?
It was worse than Pearl Harbor.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, Sophie, I don't even think that's a question. No, by the way, we were like, how dare you guys? It is not. No, of course, but it is so silly. Like, even today, the New York Times, their podcast, The Daily, their podcast today was all about Scandoval. Like, the New York Times podcast, which I know Tom hates. Tom hates and he loves it at the same time, because he did that horrendous New York Times interview.
Oh my God. Like, I feel like a really bad pop culture Bravo person. I never ended up reading it because I was already.
Oh my God.
Based on the quotes, I was like, he's so fucking annoying.
It was so ridiculous. It was so crazy on so many levels. Like, I did a whole episode just breaking down every line of that because he made so many dumb mistakes, even with a PR person there. And I just.
He's
that
such
happens.
A fucking loser idiot.
He, like, really, I mean, it's sad. He just doesn't get it. But at the same
PR
time,
his PR person was a 23-year-old fan of the show.
Well, Sophie, that was the assistant to the actual PR person. And I'm like, that's hysterical. The PR person is like, the assistant is sitting there like just excited to be part of the interview and like just throwing out things like, oh my God, it was legendary back then. And Sandoval's like, it was, dude. It was like awesome. And it's like the New York Times reporter was laughing her ass off knowing that she had like the best article.
Or what about the Rachel, part where Tom was like, he was like, all of our stuff, like Ariana still has her stuff here. Like, we still live here. And the little like 23-year-old goes, seriously?
Yeah. Can I see her stuff? Or do you think she has her panties here? Like, this.
He was getting more asking more questions for the reporter. And this is supposed to be
Well, and then I love that his actual, not even the PR person, he had his assistant there, some new guy that was doing his bills on two computers. I'm like, you need two computers to do Tom's electricity bill. And Tom's like, that guy does everything that I can't do. And I'm like, that's basically probably everything in the household. And he even said in the article, he's like, I don't think Ariana really lives here anymore. I'm not sure because she took the dog and the cat. And I'm like, yeah, man, I think she's been staying elsewhere. It's just that like that is still her home mailing address. Probably she's in New York, Tom. But this all leads up to Thursday. Rachel Levis filed lawsuit with powerhouse attorneys Mark Garagos and Brian Friedman. And like I've said many times now, those names sound familiar because they should. They are Bethany Frankel's Reality Reckoning lawyers. They also represent Brandi Glanville. They also like, so this is all a coordinated thing. It came out on the eve of the Scandoval stuff. So it was a very specific time. And, you know, it's very specific when they released this. I went through all of the court documents and, you know, she's not only suing Tom Sandoval, but Ariana Madix as well. And that is, Ariana Madix is solely named in the revenge porn because, from my understanding, that night when she found the video, she texted the video from Tom's phone to her own phone. She then texted that video to Rachel Levis and said, you know, you're dead to me. How dare you? And that's considered distributing revenge porn. But there's also 50 John or Jane Doe's named in this. Their names are withheld. They go by John or Jane Doe. And that they don't, I'm curious if they have any proof, because Ariana, even on Sheena Shenanigan podcast 6 months ago, said, listen, when all this came out, I, like Rachel's lawyer at the time, my lawyer, we offered to give my phone to show that there is no proof, that nothing has been sent. This was already talked about 6 months ago. Also, these law, the court documents are insane because it once again tries to put the belief up that Ariana knew about this relationship, that it was an open secret, production knew, and it also adds that DJ James Kennedy kicked Rachel's family dog 4 times at dinner, I think a Thanksgiving dinner. That's also in the court papers, which have nothing to do with the lawsuit, but this is part of that attack of they want to try to bring down this network, the production company. So it's not even about Tom and Ariana. It's about pushing a certain narrative our way. So we see all of this really bad behavior. It's really wild.
Okay. I didn't know about the James Kennedy kicking the dog
part. Oh yeah. It's in the complaint. Yeah. It talks about being with DJ James Kennedy, who is somebody protected by the network. It says Lisa Vanderpump protects him, which I believe some of that to be true, but it is interesting because you're like, well, what is this in the court papers about Tom and Ariana? But it paints the picture of a failing show that had failed. They knew they were on the bubble. Ariana Madix was potentially not going to be asked back to the cast, and trying to put this out there that was still, this was all drummed up. And I think this is just the weakest part of it.
She's saying that Ariana knew.
Yeah. There's one example saying that she saw them get handsy in public and something to the degree of like, come on guys, save it for season 10 or something. This is in the court documents.
Her discovering it on Tom's phone, which by the way, also him screen recording her on FaceTime masturbating is weird. Like who does?
Yes. I mean, well, a pervert that wants to like whack off later. That's who does that. But
the whole discovery of Sandoval, like dropping his phone or whatever, handing his phone to Ariana and her finding it and then having the fallout after that, like that's not actually like legit.
I think that's exactly how it happened. I don't believe the conspiracy shit. I in fact think in these papers, it's a bunch of bullshit. And I think also Rachel's own podcast, Rachel Goes Rogue, goes against this narrative because she talks about many times about Ariana not knowing. So the fact that this is in the court documents is very confusing. And that's what I was making that point earlier about Leah McSweeney, about like doing an interview where you take personal responsibility for your drinking. But once we get to the court papers, that doesn't exist anymore. And that's the thing that confuses me about the law. And, you know, shows like the Bravo docket and stuff can, you know, speak to this, because sometimes you don't even have to have the facts on your side. We're such a litigious society now that you can sue for anything. But these court documents, I mean, Rachel, to name Ariana in this is so, what a big, like right when I was coming around on her, I think it's one of the biggest asshole moves I've seen, because at the end of the day, Rachel made a bad decision, but she was a bad person at the time for this decision. To actually continually now put this person through another, like some kind of legal process because of her own, because of Rachel's own actions, I think is really, really fucking gross. And I'm sorry if you're going to come after me for that, guys, but I just think it's fucking gross.
I didn't know, you know, all of the details with the other things that she was alleging. I feel like I just, the revenge porn part was the part that I was like reading about.
And Tom's disgusting for that. Tom's fucking disgusting for that. You should sue your pants off, Tom, but he didn't distribute it.
Tom is disgusting for that. And also, like, if Ariana found it and like sent it to herself, I guess like she sent it to herself and then sent it to Rachel. She didn't like send it to like other people.
No,
like,
no. Sophie, she talked about this. I think it was in the, in the Call Her Daddy interview, I believe it was. She talked about this. She said, listen, I fucking went immediately. I had a suspicion. I found it. I sent it to myself and then I sent it to her. And I do ask like all the girls out there or and even some of the guys to put themselves in that situation. You find out your partner of 9 years is cheating on you. You find the proof. I mean, I think in that moment, it was like a lot of people, if they were thinking clearly, would do the same thing of, I'm not going to let this asshole delete this and say, I didn't see what I saw.
Right. Totally.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Like, I understand why she did it. I also see, like, Raquel, maybe, I guess legally, I'm not a lawyer, surprisingly. But, like, I could see her having a case to say, yeah, this was distributing revenge porn. Like, I could see how that would be legitimate. But the other things, like, how are you going to prove that Ariana knew and this was all, like, you know,
I think it's just meant to sow seeds of discord with the audience. I think it's meant to actually make people confused. I think it's meant to put a thing, and it also feeds into Bethany's larger reality reckoning of this is bad. This is all bad. Burn it to the ground. This is all disgusting. And, you know, like Andy, like we should have just kissed Bethany's ass. Like the fact that you were on Watch What Happens Live making fun of Bethany to her face one night, she never forgot it. And now this is what's happening. And I don't know, man.
I also love all the housewives that are like coming out to like suck physically. Yeah.
I have never been offered drugs by like, I'm like literally
nothing but professional and incredible.
Like Sonia Morgan's like, I've begged Andy for coke and he won't give it to me. Please, Andy, please. No, it is wild. Like they're all coming out. Like I like Rachel Fuda from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'm like, Rachel, you don't even barely get to see Andy. Like I love that everybody. Right. And I love coming out in support because the guy is going through a tough time. But also, if anything, this is a warning sign to Andy to like, really don't blur any sort of lines. Like it's hard because he has to be their friend. He has to be somebody that's encouraging. He's like the Mickey Mouse. He's like this kind of mascot for the whole network and every housewife wants to be his friend. And he's obviously this kind of fun loving and at times a party guy. He's a gay man in New York City.
Still have to have those boundaries when you're a boss.
Yes. And that is the thing is that is the stuff that I see like having to have really strict policies and guidelines if they haven't already started enacting those already. Right. But I don't know in the law if you have to actually look at who's doing this. Like Bethany Frankel, you would have to look at her past behavior and how she has moved through the world in terms of not just like legal matters, but her own thriving off of attention. Like, you know, I wonder if those things get ever called into question, because here is somebody that seems to need the spotlight, craves the spotlight, is really thirsty, eats on camera on TikTok all the time, spouting off her opinions about Taylor Swift to Bravo. Like, that's the thing that, like, I'm like, this is the person in charge of the reality reckoning, somebody that I think is completely in it for fame.
She's like,
like just greasy seafood all over her face. Like, and I don't know, like, I want better working conditions. It's tough because you want to take everything anybody says seriously. If they get to this point, you want to believe that everybody has the right reasons for doing something. And you do want to believe women, but sometimes when it's Brandi Glanville and we've seen how she's right. moved through the reality show world, it's tough. Like, I don't know. Like, and I feel like that's sometimes on me. It's like, I got to watch about having typical male behavior in talking about these things, but it's frustrating because we've watched Brandi be highly sexual in any season that she's on. We've seen her do it on her Twitter account. We've seen her do it on her OnlyFans. We've seen her do it this, but now all of a sudden we have to act like Brandi has never been sexual in any sort of way, has never made anybody herself uncomfortable in a certain way. And it's all Andy Cohen and Bravo's fault. That's the thing that it's, I'm having a hard time. Like,
right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a case by case basis, but the cases that we've seen recently are like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
Don't have a leg to stand on. You actually probably just want publicity. Like, that's what you want.
But she also, to her point, she wants to make a living. She wants to, like, she wants to be able to provide for herself and her family. But my thing always has been, stop depending on reality television to give you a good retirement plan. It will not do it. It cannot hold. There are too many reality stars now. They all can't be making money. We get 60 new Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants every year. They all want a piece of the pie. Like, guys, go get a second degree, go get a real job. And if Bravo comes calling, amazing.
It's so funny how like addictive it clearly is for them.
It must be the best.
Yeah, it's the best. Like,
until it's not, until you're not getting the calls.
It's hard for them to let go, understandably, but they're taking it out on the wrong person.
Oh, you know what we need to do, Sophie? They need to do a traitor season where it's just people suing Bravo. And then like the you know, they can win money towards their lawsuit each season. Oh, and it's just people with complaints.
So I do want to talk about, should we talk about traitors?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I want to talk about traitors. I want to talk about Love is Blind. There's, I want to talk Summer House.
And Jackson Brittany.
Like, well, that was the other thing, because I did this special episode on Friday going through the court documents and also the Jackson Brittany stuff. And I was tipped off about the Jackson Brittany stuff by somebody close in that world that's saying, hey, immediately go listen to this podcast that just got released, Brittany and Jax's, where in the last 2 minutes, she talks about this. And I listen to it and it says, hey, I'm taking some time away from Jax and we go through things on my wedding, you know, like, and I'm like, okay. And then I text this person and I say, okay, is this true or is this just promotion for the Valley? And they said, they swear up and down, it's completely true. But I do want to say, I don't know who or what to believe anymore, folks. So take anything. Like, I don't know if I'm being played when I get tipped off about things just to like talk about it. I don't know. I'm in like paranoia mode now all the time. But I will say, either way, it's sad. If they're doing this for publicity, it's sad because he's levying his family and relationship just for potential ratings. And if it is true, that's sad too, because it means that Jack's obviously jaxed up again and potentially cheated or something like that.
What is with the TMZ like on the street interviews?
Hey Jax, hey, good workout in there today, bud. And Jax is like, how did you know I was here, dude? We have our ways. Anyways, is everything good with you and Brittany? What's going on?
And Brittany's like, look, a lot of people are saying this is for promotion for the show, and it's not for the show. We also have a podcast.
We're selling t-shirts. Meemaw's beer cheese will be out soon.
And she was like, my son deserves better. I deserve better. It's like, poor baby Cruz, no matter what the situation is here. But I was like, what am I supposed to believe, Brittany, when you mentioned your podcast and your show and your bar all in one?
Yeah, Jax's Saloon. Well, and then they had photos of Brittany moving things into a second location. And I think even Page Six said she was paying for like It was like a 12,000 a month place, like a second place. And I'm like, Jesus God, $12,000 a month. If that's true, that's wild. Like, just like, wait, this is the only time where Tom and Ariana look smart. I'm like, can't they just stay in the same place? Like, what are you talking? You're going to pay $12,000 a month for a new place.
There's no way. There's no way, Jess, right? Have that kind of money right now.
Don't waste money on a second location. Like, go live at Jax's Saloon or something. It's insane. And Brittany's just like,
there's no way they have that money in their checking accounts right now.
Well, who knows? Yeah, listen, the happy anniversary to Scandaball, because this is what Scandaball has worked. All of a sudden, all of these ex-cast members got opportunities. You know, Dodie's back on the Valley. Jax is back on the Valley with Brittany and the Saloon and the appearances. This has been good business for everybody, but you are levying your actual family and your real personal life just to make a paycheck. And it must be a damn good paycheck. But this is what eventually, you guys, I feel like 5 years from now, you're going to see a lawsuit from Jax against Bravo. You're going to see a lawsuit from Tom Sandoval against Bravo of they hung me out to dry, dude. It's like these people are making their own choices and they love it when the getting is good. But when the other thing starts turning around, then it becomes somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
What do you believe about the Jax and Brittany stuff?
I do think that it's for the show, but also I was talking to my fiance about it. He was like, so what do you think? Like, he actually got into the Vanderpump drama.
Yeah.
But I think that it is for the show because of course it is.
But how would that help the show? Just that they're in the news?
People being like, well, let's see how their marriage falls apart. You know, people are going to want to see the drama if it turns out that they separate right before the season.
Well, it's like another thing like Carl and Lindsay on Summer House. We already know they don't make it to the aisle. So now you're watching all of the context clues about how we get there. So now potentially the audience is going to have another thing like we watched Scandoball of let's see the cracks in Brittany and Jax's relationship since we know they're separated now. That's what you're saying, right?
Right. Exactly. So sure, for promotion, not real. But at the same time, if it's not now, it's going to be, eventually.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that even if it's fake, you guys, there is we also have to remember who we saw Jax to be on that television show. He was somebody that lied consistently and constantly about everything.
It's very obvious to see why Brittany would divorce him or separate from him, but we just never expected her to actually do that.
Well, and also even in that TMZ walk and talk video, she's like, I'll always love Jax, but he's not really doing much of anything right now. Jax, he's not working.
When you're just fighting and fighting, you reach a breaking point.
Oh my God. Do we think we're going to see Brittany take over for Ariana in Chicago?
Oh my God.
There's a name on everybody's list, Roxy.
The name on everybody's list is gonna be Roxy.
Oh my God.
Babe. Why won't we paint, babe?
Rotten hell, it's me, Roxy. Oh my God.
The corn.
Well, we got the trailer for The Valley this week. They finally showed us real footage of The Valley. And, you got Jax and Brittany, you got Dodie and Luke, her boyfriend. You have Janet, Elizabeth, and Jason Caperna, and then two other couples. And, listen, everybody is filled.
It's really a who's who.
Like DJ James Kennedy said, who the fuck are these people? Jesus, man.
That's my favorite. That's my new saying. But I feel like Ryan, actually, you would be running in the same circles as some of these people.
Yeah. No, yeah, I do know Janet. Yeah. I knew Janet and Jason. I know. And listen, I will say, everybody's kind of shitting on this, but I'm going to reserve my opinions until I see it. But also I will say there is something if Jax is a complete idiot, that has usually been pretty entertaining to watch in the past. And I don't know. Like, there are aspects of this that it could work. It could be a flaming piece of shit as well. We just don't know until we see it. But also at this point, I've been proven to watch literally anything. Yeah, same, like, so
I'm fucking watch it. So like,
yeah, like I'm going to watch it. And like, either way, if it's so bad, it's good. Great. If it's great and it's good. Great. Like either way, but they have a good opportunity. I just hope that they have some like actual real in the reality and not, and I just hope it's not completely full of shit. I just hope it's not fake completely. Well,
I don't know, Ryan. It sounds like you're flying a little too close to the sun.
No, Sophie, I got to tell you, I've talked, listen, I think after the Sandoval stuff, I have dialed it back. Like, I don't try to interact with a lot of, unless I go on their podcast or something, I don't try to interact with any of these people because that's a bad, like, if I had those moments where I thought it was cool to be around Vanderpump people and that, like, I think the Tom thing, just if we were being real about this, I've talked about this many times. And how much of an idiot I am. I looked up to that guy a lot. And I really would never have thought any of this would have been like when I heard this a year ago, I remember I was like at a gym and I thought it was I went after DJ James Kennedy because I was like, you're a fucking liar. They've been good to you. Why would you say this about them? Because he immediately went out on his Instagram. And I just and then finally I got word pretty immediately that it was true. And that really like I know that's idiotic.
Did you like collapse at the gym?
I collapsed. Yeah. There was like a Shawshank Redemption. I just threw my hands to the sky. It was raining. And I was like, why? And it carried over into West Hollywood, into the valley. And Kim was like, did you hear something being screamed in the jacuzzi? I can't believe that. But see, that's how mushy my brain is too, was that I actually, you guys heard it. I fucking, and also it coincided with my mom being like really sick. My mom like dying. Like I was so angry during this whole thing. And I still am because it's so stupid. But it just shows us how all the like us guys, we have literal shit for brains. We will make the stupidest choices. It's we true. Do not think 10 steps down. It shows time and time again how women are so much more thought out. They actually stand by their convictions. Not to say that women are perfect, but they really do seem to have a pattern of behavior that's much more safe and much more out of loyalty than men do. And that's the thing is that you have to consistently work as a guy every day to be like, how many shitty things did you do today? And how can you make it less shitty the next day? Because I think there's a certain thing. These people, they get caught up in this low level fame. But you see like Ariana. Ariana's getting shit on all the time now. And it's like she just took the opportunities that were given to her and she's working her ass off. Like she's not out there like trying to do these like stupid, like she's doing big things to build a future and she still gets shit on because we have this internalized misogyny like the time.
Like the reality is that you are an ally, but the majority.
Well, I can be, but Sophie, I've made my own stupid, like I'm a stupid man as well. It's just that. That's what's frustrating though, is that, well, I just don't think I should be looking up to any men. You got to look up to women. And those, if you look up to the right women.
It's true. The majority of our society and most men and a lot of women are extremely misogynist. And that's why everyone is like turning on Ariana because they always turn on whatever, you know, it girl or woman of the moment there is. She will always get turned on. Anne Hathaway.
Well, that's the confused.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I'm so confused too. That's why earlier in the discussion, we were talking about Brandy and stuff like that. I have to keep reminding myself that the world sometimes is against women. So even me speaking out about certain behaviors, I get confused because I'm like, oh man, like it's just sometimes hard Brandy, trying to find the right thing, you know?
Well, like Brandy's behavior is objectively bad, like most of the time.
Then we saw Leah McSweeney's behavior as well. Nothing, and it's like,
it's not like Emrata where like everything a woman does is like inherently feminist.
Emrata. Why isn't Emrata on a housewife show? My God, her and her best friend Z-Way, you know? I don't know. It's been a weird, I don't know, the kind of, there's a disillusionment that comes on the aftermath of Scandoval where we are a year later and you still see just complete idiocy. Tom Sandoval seems to have learned nothing. And it's not like he just seems to blame everybody but himself. And Schwartz is still getting by on this cute guy act, which I really think he is so charming and funny. But like him going around doing press rounds that he was not an accessory to Scandoval when that's exactly what he was is kind of weird to me because I'm like, wait a sec, you did help cover all of this up. This is a part of it. And you're so damn charming and funny and good looking that you will still be able to skate by through all of this easier than most of the female counterparts. In fact, we will point fingers at Sheena, Lala, all of the other female cast members. And then the guys that actually participated in it were like, hey man, they're trying. Like, we really treat guys, and myself included, like we are just slow adults. They're like, oh man, they put on pants today. Look at them. Amazing.
Well, it's also like, isn't that sad too? Because we are like a female, Bravo is like a female majority audience. Like, it objectively is. But I feel like we as an audience, I'm saying the royal we, no, like we as an audience tend to be way harsher on Bravo women than Bravo men. Like, almost.
Well, and the funny thing is that the thesis statement of The Housewives is a show about celebrating women and the power of women. And then at the same time, we end up just kind of tearing down the women.
Exactly.
Well, it's like, it's Thunderdome. And it's like, you see some women thrive. You see, like, Kyle Richards, even for all of her shit, you can't argue that she hasn't thrived through 13 seasons where she has helped build this insanely good career. She helped her husband's company. She's helped all of these things. She's still around, and this has been her worst year yet. But here's somebody that has managed to kind of keep her head above water. Like, if she was a lesser person, she might be somebody that would not be able to withstand all of the spotlight. And I don't know. It's very interesting. It's just like each case is different because each woman is different in the world, you know?
Right. But also, Housewives existed before social media.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Yeah. I know. But by the way, Twitter, like, I always love this. Real Housewives of Orange County
made it, I'm sure, so hard. Social media is great, like, for the same reasons, is that it's democratized that interaction and communication that you can have, like, regular people with celebrities. But I feel like for the Housewives, it must be so fucking hard reading those tweets. Like, well, that's insane. We're just tearing them down.
Oh, I know. But Sophie, like, I feel like Sophie's such a good tweeter. Like, she's like, she's laser like in her precision and her jokes. Like, it's really like, it's amazing. Cause I'm like, I fumble, and that's why I need 3-hour podcasts. Cause I just am like bloviated and bloated in terms of how I express myself. No, but no, I'm saying, like, there's a laser like precision, but at the same time, if I was one of those Housewives or Vanderpumpers or Love is Blind people that you sometimes write about, and I've read bad comments. We've both read bad comments about ourselves, and it floors us. You could act tough and you can act this, but it really does floor us. But at the same time, all of these shows depend on second screen technology. These shows do not take off unless we are not joking about it, you know, unless we are not adding our voices. And that's what makes, like, Love is Blind or The Traitors. It kind of like adds this cachet to it that if it didn't have social media, it wouldn't be as popular as it was.
Yeah, like social media and like BravoCon and like all the drama that happens there is like the fourth.
It's all content.
It's like that's the eighth housewife or whatever.
Well, how many times do we now see in a reunion?
So deep.
I know. God, we're really getting, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm about to do a fart joke or something. But no, even in reunions now, they'll always be like, Sophie Ross from New York says blah, 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 blah. They'll read the tweets. You know, they'll even start with like podcast clips now. Like, people are arguing about podcasts on these shows. Tom Sandoval is so butthurt about Lala and Sheena's podcast. Like,
wasn't profiting off of Scandoval.
But also, like, I'm like, Tom, what's your podcast? You literally rip on these people on your podcast. It's all like circular. It just feeds its own tail.
Yeah.
Or eats its own tail. Anyways. Okay. So Vanderpump Rules, though, we're like talking all about this. We're not even talking about the show. Like the show itself, like, has taken a backseat to all of the drama that's actually happening, because this season they're now at Wolf with Wolf, and they're all banging on the walls and screaming out, you know, and Tom
the
Sandoval.
Sexiest restaurant in Lake Tahoe.
It's where you go to fuck people, they cheat on people, and I'm with Nick Lane. And they're breaking down the wall with these like hammers, and they're screaming out things. And Sandoval, you would think, would scream out like, I'm so upset at myself for doing this. But instead, he screams at everybody. He's like, James Kennedy, no, no. And it's like completely ridiculous. Thank God we had a Billy Lee free episode, because the episode before, when I just still cannot get it out of my head of her fawning over Tom Sandoval in a cold plunge. Like, I was like, I need a friend like this that just thinks everything I do is amazing.
Right. It's actually like crazy, though, how Sandoval has like twisted it around in his mind that he's actually inherently the victim.
He's the victim.
He needs apologies from everyone else.
Like, yes.
Are you fucking kidding me? What a narcissist.
But at the same time, I know, it's really incredible. And then he's like, Brock, take a selfie with me so he can post it immediately and be like, look, I'm back in the friend group. And I do find it funny about like just this whole concept of the gang, getting the gang back together. The gang doesn't really exist. You guys aren't real friends anymore. Like, this isn't, you all have separate friends. And also Tom Sandoval, I think it was the Howie Mandel podcast. Not that he was on, but they talked about it. He was like, he hooked up with like a 23-year-old that works on that show. It got revealed like, I think a week and a half ago on the podcast. And it was like over the summer. And I just love that Tom presents himself as this wounded person that has been so maligned by the public and all of this stuff. But at the same time, even though he loved Rachel, he was out there hooking up quite a bit during this time of misery. So I think that's also an interesting thing to keep in the back of your head. This guy wasn't celibate, like he was out there straight up fucking, you know, like, and fucking like young girls.
Ew, he's so disgusting.
I don't know. Well, so what do you think about like the Graham stuff with DJ James Kennedy and
Graham? Yeah.
His name is Hippie now. Hippie.
I mean, like, it's all like boring. I feel like the Graham cracker thing actually wasn't like, that was like staged, their little like reunion. Like,
yeah, totally.
And also like bringing everyone knows you're not supposed to like introduce a dog out of nowhere without like slowly introducing them to a cat.
You're just surprising Allie out of nowhere after it is said that Graham, no offense to Graham, has had like really aggressive behavior and supposedly bit Rachel's mom's finger to the bone. You're just going to like, no matter how amazing and cute this dog is, and no matter if DJ James Kennedy is a good or bad dog dad, you do have like, that doesn't just happen. You don't just hand off the dog and go, well, he's yours now.
Right. Like, it's just silly. It's silly.
I don't think that's really Graham. I think that's a fake Graham. I think that's AI Graham.
It was like literally just in another doodle from down the street, because they all fucking look the same. Everyone's doodles.
Like, how does this show keep going?
Ever met.
Like, Ariana and Katie, like, how does this show keep going? Because like,
okay, my question,
they rightfully do not want to hang out with those people, rightfully so. But how does the show actually go?
So my question is, I was hoping that Ariana was going to go to Lake Tahoe, but no, obviously not. She stayed behind, and Katie and Ariana are like, or at least Ariana is like literally refusing to film with him at this point, right?
Yeah.
So like she's staying home because she will not film with Tom Sandoval. Well, like, how think is about that? That's not a good show.
Well, I know. And I think that's why I do think Ariana, I mean, I think she would take another season, but I also think there's a world in which she chooses not to come back because she's like, yeah, I'm trying to do other things now. And I think that's what's important. Like, her run of Chicago has been like the best box office run of Chicago they've had in like a decade. So if they can show that she's a draw, like, Ariana could like do another Broadway show. She can host things. Like, she has a real shot at a career right now outside of Vanderpump Rules. And I think at the end of the day, she did a LA Times article this weekend by Amy Kinnaman. And I think she even pointed out, like, why are people giving me shit? This is what we all did the show for, is other opportunities.
Obviously.
We all went on Vanderpump Rules to get other opportunities.
Obviously.
I'm actually taking them. I just love that people have to explain why they're actually taking the things that are offered to them. It's like, no shit.
Turn that down. Like, come on. Again, it's like our audience. It's sad. This Bravo audience, how misogynistic. And I'm not exempt from that. I know
I fall into it all the time.
Yeah, like we all do. And yeah, it sucks.
I just don't know where the show goes because they're at a certain age where it is weird that they're forced to hang out with each other and that they're like, it is kind of funny if you think about.
And it's not good. Like, it's literally not good this season. I know.
Well, it's good until it gets good. Like, it's not good until it gets good. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is what I had this little drought for, because I still have the hope that it's going to get good, that it's going to be.
I'm hopeful.
And you're going to have the producers trying to get Ariana and Tom together, and Ariana's not going to have it. So there might be something inherently entertaining about Ariana running away from this situation that she chose, that she was strong enough to choose for. Like, imagine your worst boyfriend, or imagine my worst girlfriend. Imagine, like, all of a sudden you have to film a show with them. You're like, I got you out of my life, but now I have to, like, do TV show with you again. Like, how miserable would you be?
I'm, like, trying to picture. I'm like, which one? Like, which one?
Well, actually, it's a pretty good show now that you think about it. Like, actually, that would be really entertaining. Okay, so Vanderpump Rules. All the shit outside of the show is actually getting way more press than inside the show. Rachel Levis, please take Ariana's name off of this lawsuit. I think it makes you look so much worse in the long run if you are looking to stay in the industry, whatever this industry is. Now, to get to Summer House, now second episode of Summer House, and we finally get some information on why Carl potentially called off the wedding, because Lindsay, unfortunately, did something very, I thought, just insanely hurtful and accused Carl of being Cocaine Carl and being on something on the way to a club. Now, this wasn't captured on camera, even though there were witnesses in the car. And you can tell Carl is the most proud of his sobriety. So this really hurt him. What did you think of this?
Yeah, that was awful. Like, you, even if you're partner, the person that you are supposed to marry, did relapse, like, that's not the way to handle it. Like, announcing it on national television, calling him Cocaine Carl, like,
on national television, like, on camera, like, on your partner that you're, like, supposed to protect, and even if they make a bad decision, you want to protect them. Like, this is Lindsay going, like, on camera going, well, listen, he just seemed very, I've never seen him like this unless he was on cocaine. And I was like, was he hanging out with Andy Cohen that night? What's going on?
Oh my God. It was Montauk, so, like, probably. But
Andy's in the lurking in the shadows.
But I feel like anyone watching that show and other cast members, I think, would attest to this, that he seemed completely sober. So it's
yeah, like, I mean, it did seem like that.
Up. Like,
but also Lindsay was also drinking. Lindsay had been drinking, and that's the unfortunate thing, right? When somebody starts drinking, they do start, their decision making gets not good at that moment a lot of times. And so Lindsay, and we've seen her patterns of behavior season after season where she will lash out, she will make accusations, and I could see where this would be really hurtful. And even the next day, she, you know, seems like still upset at him, and he's like, listen, I'm going to go on a run. Hopefully we can talk about, like, he's doing everything right, but that seems to upset Lindsay even more.
She, like, doubles down and she brings water, which seemed like an insinuation that he was, like, maybe hungover. So it's like, oh, you're doubling down even though you're, you know, you're supposed to be sober, probably still drunk or hungover, but you know what I mean? And yeah, it was just, I felt so bad for Carl. And either way, I would be pissed. Like, either way, it's wrong. It's wrong, because even if
the one thing in your life that you're the most proud of and put the most work in, and all of a sudden by the person closest to you, you're getting discounted, that stings.
Yeah. No, I think that we're going to get probably a lot more insight into what.
Yeah. What do you think of Summer House so far? We're only two episodes in. What do you think?
I'm into it. I feel like you could tell that there is that divide between the rest of the cast and Carl and Lindsay. And I feel like Kyle and Amanda, even, like, it's like they're seeming like maybe it's almost time to, like, move on to this, like, fresh, like, Wes seems great. And, like, Jesse Sullivan.
I like the new guys. Jesse Sullivan seems kind of douchey, but I like him.
Yeah, no, I'm into it. So it's like, how many years are we going to watch Kyle and Amanda choose to ruin their lives?
Dude, I will say Amanda finally seems like she's, like, not even pretending anymore. Like, she's just like, I'm so tired of this shit. Like, then Amanda seems like she's really comfortable in her voice this season.
Then leave. Like, that's why it's like, we do not give a fuck anymore. Yes, like, he cheated on you. But you married him after you forgave him. You chose to stay with him. Like, shut up. No one wants to hear about it anymore.
See, like, I kind of have empathy for Amanda in the sense that, like, you see, like, it's hard because, like, Kyle seems like that person that works his ass off. He's an 80-hour a week work guy, obviously wants to cut loose in bad ways, you know, when he's not working. And Amanda's one of those people, like a lot of us, we're just like, I want a quiet life, dude. I want to raise my dogs, potentially have kids. Okay.
She knew. Sorry.
She did know, but I think there's this. No. I think a lot of us go into relationships, unfortunately, sometimes thinking that we can, not even realizing, but wanting to change the person of, yes, like, they'll calm, yes, down. They'll calm down. They'll, you know what? There's, that's such fair, a good foundation here, and they'll calm down, they'll change, and they'll grow up. And I think sometimes that's the thing that is so wrong, is that we don't ever really grow up. It's so hard to fight those tendencies.
She married him when he was like 45 already. So,
well,
like,
shut up. You're such an idiot.
So, like, he is who he is. You're at that point, you know?
You're an idiot. Well, by the way, imagine a season of Kyle, like, imagine Kyle without Amanda on a season of Summer House. That guy would be terrible. Like, imagine that guy trying to flirt with, like, Sierra and things like that. Like, and by the way, Sierra, like, she's almost, she's so close to being interesting, I think.
I liked when she was like, in the first episode, when she was like working at like a hard job, like Hollister, builds charisma. Do you mean it builds character?
My job at Old Navy really made me who I am. Yeah.
But it's like, if it built charisma, like, where's yours?
Oh, Jesus. It is so, like, she is stunningly gorgeous.
That we just tear them down.
I know. And by the way, because, like, anyways, like, anytime we say shit about Paige, and like, people still bring up comments that we've made about Paige throughout the years, you know, and I'm just like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, she does primarily lay in bed. Like, I've given her so many compliments. She's funny. Yes. She seems smart. She, you know, obviously makes her own money, has a great career. Like, I've said all of these things, but can't I also say she's a little bit like Iago, where she'll whisper shit in somebody's ear and make them do her bidding? And can't I also say that sometimes she just did really just lay there when I wanted a little bit more of an active Summer House? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I say.
Right. It's like, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, leave us alone, you know?
No.
She's
doing amazing. She's got Craig doing, like, Craig will, like, do anything for this girl. Like, Craig will, like.
When do you think they're going to get engaged? Like, do you think it's going to happen soon?
It's got to happen.
You think? Like, you think.
Okay, here's the deal. If Craig does it on camera, that's not a good sign. I feel like if Craig gets engaged to Paige off camera, I think that relationship will last until the end of time.
Ooh.
Does that make sense? Like, if he doesn't monetize that, I think it's going to last forever.
In the same city.
I know, but like, does that really, like, what happens when you're in the same city? Trouble happens. You get a house like Tom and Ariana, you know, maybe this is going to actually make it last longer.
Anyone who lives with like a heterosexual man, I'm sure would prefer to have like a bi-coastal life where you're like,
come on, you don't have little hairs everywhere in the sink and like the, you know, like, no, it's great. The Jesse Solomon, though, this guy already, a really tall guy, big white teeth.
Nice Jewish boy.
Yeah. Jewish boy, very cocky. And the thing is, though, and then on top of it, like, towards the end of this episode, he reveals he is a 2-time cancer survivor. And I'm like, damn it, this guy, like, that's like, I'm like, that's a panty dropper. If you are a 2-time cancer survivor, you can get any, like, on top of being that tall and good looking, this guy, like, Austin is like, oh my God, I wish I was a cancer survivor. Like, that is, like, that's truly incredible. Like, I felt bad for West in that moment.
West in that moment was like, what if he had gone first?
West said, I'd been to all 50 states. That was the interesting thing about him. And then Jesse Solomon was like, I'm a 2-time cancer survivor. And he only has one testicle. That's another fun fact. But am I making this up in my head? Doesn't Carl have 3 testicles?
Carl has an extra one, I'm pretty sure.
Dude, if we can get Carl to loan Jesse Solomon one of his testicles, like, what a Summer House episode that would be. More life.
I was thinking about like the logistics of it, like which side, like if you like impregnated someone, you wouldn't, it could have came from either side with the sperm.
So true. Yeah. And oh God, I'm not going to say this.
Doctors, like, DM us and let us know.
Yeah, doctors, DM about testicles. I have one big testicle, but then I have a smaller testicle, you guys. I've always, and it's like, I remember my doctor making me feel really weird about that one. He was like, oh, there's the one. And he's like, where's, oh, there it is. And he seemed disappointed about one of the testicles. And I was like, Jesus, dude. Okay, so Summer House is going good. It's a little, the Lindsay stuff is wild. I saw the first 7 minutes of this next week's episode, and Lindsay already is pulling Danielle aside and complaining about Carl and that night. So it is interesting how we paint the scenario, but I think in retrospect, Lindsay also put out a Instagram story saying, sorry about my behavior. This is what I thought at the time, and trying to defuse the situation. Hopefully she doesn't do it.
A non-apology, kind of.
Well, I mean, it was her explaining. Thank God she didn't bring up George Floyd in her apology or anything like that. So that's a positive. But, you know, she had to say something. But I think it is becoming clear why they obviously – because I saw a conversation in next week's episode between Kyle and Carl where, you know, Kyle says, does it worry you getting closer to the wedding? And this is how she is. So we already see where this is headed. I'm just curious – if we see any conversations of Carl literally saying to Lindsay, we've got to figure this out before we get married. Like if he did actually let her in on his thought process before he did this.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
In which case, like, how do you argue that you're blindsided? You know?
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm curious if we will see.
Right now, the problems seem very evident. And it's almost like Lindsay like thought because they were engaged that she had like locked him in, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, but also in a way, sometimes
I keep having to remind myself, I was like, I haven't even officially like locked him in.
Yet, Sophie, so. do not coast on anything right now, Sophie. You are planning the wedding, but you can't coast right now. You got to put the foot on the gas.
I need to make it to the finish line. And then once I make it to the finish line, you'll see the real me.
Yeah. It's funny because it's true. So Summer House, then we've got Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We had the first part of the reunion. There's not a lot to talk about here. There's a 3-part reunion.
Dorit,
by the way, I think
on Jeff Lewis. Podcast basically said that Dorit, they were waiting for her for like two and a half hours.
Yeah. So I talked to Crystal last week as well. Like it's wild. Like the Dorit of it all, Dorit really seems like she wants to be there, but she doesn't seem to pay attention to anybody talking. Like she's done the same shit season after season. She always makes them wait. She's always posting on TikTok and Instagram. And then she gets herself in idiotic conversations that she can't back up any. Like she can't have really intelligent, deep conversations. I think she gets flustered in those. Right. I think there's a world in which like I'm kind of scared for Dorit. Like, will she come back for another season?
That's what everyone's saying, is that she seems like they're over her.
What did you think of the look?
Comment. What?
What did you think of the look overall? Was that worth waiting 2 hours?
No,
that red. I mean,
the how little did that even curly have? Cue? The little curly cue.
But that's it. It's like style over substance, right? She is like all style over substance.
I was watching my fiance was like, "What is she wearing?" I was like, "I don't know."
Did you wear that to the wedding?
Some like haute couture hood situation. Like, okay, Dorit. I liked how Anna Marie,
yes.
Anna, pronounced Anna Marie, was wearing, someone on Twitter pointed this out, that she was wearing a gown that Charisse wore to the Potomac reunion, like maybe last year or the year before.
There's only so many clothes, you know, pieces of clothing out there. It's going to happen.
But that would happen to Anna Marie. It like wouldn't be if it were anyone else, but it's like, of course.
But Anna Marie, by the way, she was on the Heather McDonald podcast this past week and once again said some stupid shit about like doubling down on the doctor comments because like, you know, certain nurse anesthetists can't like, will have to have a doctorate. Like it was very like, once again, confusing and also goes kind of to this thing where I do think Anna Marie does kind of bend the truth and then another person that doubles down and kind of points it to everybody else's problem. You know, like I hated this week when she was like, I'm not going to yell over you, Crystal. And it's like, well, Crystal wasn't even yelling yet, so there's no way to like just have a conversation. That's what you're here to do. Like, I always think that just kind of like points like I'm trying to put the spotlight on somebody else and nothing's even happened yet. Like, I just think her whole way of behaving is super just weird and off-putting. And I can't tell if that's going to get her a second season or make her not come back at all. Because how, and by the way, finding out that her mother passed away this season and they didn't talk about it, that broke my heart, because that would have been so much better than her talking about Sutton's esophagus. Like, I would have wanted to see that story and I would have empathized with her so much. And for her to not share that, and I understand it's tough, but that's what this is.
That's what it was, that she chose not to share it. And then she was acting like everyone was supposed to know that she was like going through this really hard time, even though she chose not to share it. Like, that's.
Yeah. But wouldn't wouldn't this be the place to share it? Especially when we're like, you're talking about women's issues and things. Like, everybody goes through a parent or somebody close to them dying. You know, Kyle talks about her friend taking her own life this season, and it was a very powerful episode. Like, those things actually do help people, and it kind of then combats all the silliness and the craziness of all the other storylines. And I thought it was a missed opportunity for her.
Well, and her first season, we'd probably be looking at her a lot different.
Oh, she'd be a hero.
That would get a lot of people's sympathy, rightfully so. And
a way to honor your mom too, a way to honor your mom who seemed like she was a great lady. I think that's another way, but who knows? It's just something that stood out to me, and we'll see. I don't think Kyle and I don't think Kyle's going to come out on the second or third part of the reunion. You guys, I know everybody's saying that Morgan Wade, like, I'm Morgan Wade, I'm in a relationship with Kyle Richards. I think she's going to go close to admitting it, but not admit it. What do you think?
Same. It's like, but at this point, it's not like, will they or won't they? It's just like, get out of our faces.
But has Kyle ever just flat out admitted something just like point blank on this show in 13 seasons?
No, she's so fucking sketchy. That's why I'm like actually happy that Mo got the exclusive, it looks like.
For his Netflix Buying Beverly Hills show?
Netflix show. Like, he got the, he's like straight up with it. He's like, your mom and I, he's talking to like the daughters. I didn't watch it, Mo's show, so like I can't really tell the difference between any of the daughters. Even Portia, I'm like.
I like that there's something so dark that the family business is not just real estate, but it's reality shows. I'm like, come here, love beans. You're all going to be on the new season of Buying Beverly Hills more than you are Real Housewives of Beverly. And Kyle's filming on this season of Buying Beverly Hills. So I don't know what, like, Bravo, we should have gotten every fucking exclusive. That should not have been Netflix's story to get just so Mauricio can make his show popular. That so pisses me off.
I think that that's like, how did that happen? Because that must have been agreed on somewhere, but I feel like that's a really bad deal for Bravo.
Well, it's kind of like Jackson Brittany. It's like the smarter Jackson Brittany of, I believe that their relationship problems are 100% true, but I also believe they're like, we are going to monetize it though. We're going to make my show on Netflix big. We're going to make Beverly Hills big. Like, I feel like they did have a little calendar out and say, okay, we're going to premiere Buying Beverly Hills season 2 right after the third part of the Beverly Hills reunion. Like, that takes planning.
Oh God.
Also, I want Kyle and Morgan to come. I want Morgan to be a part of Beverly Hills next season. I also think, I watched the Peacock extended version of the Beverly Hills reunion. Freddie Mellencamp was brought up twice in the first part of the reunion.
I only watched on Peacock. Did they not bring up Teddy on the...
They only brought her up one time on the regular version. On the other version, they had brought up the BravoCon comment of like, stop trying to make Teddy happen. And Kyle's like, Teddy is very much happening in my life and all of our lives. And Dorit didn't like stand up for Teddy in that moment. And that was like a whole thing in the... you guys got to watch the extended cut. But the funny thing is, I think they are trying. I think there is a world in which Freddie Mellencamp will come back next season as a little token to Kyle of like, listen, we want you back on the show. We'll surround you with people that you really trust and are friends with. I think they are priming it for that. I do.
No. But that was so fun. That was actually like maybe my favorite part. So I'm confused.
And it wasn't in the regular version. It wasn't in the regular version.
That was so funny. It showed like the sassy, like, Bravo gay, like being like, so you're always trying to make Teddy happen and Teddy's just not gonna happen.
I was in the audience for that. It was like I think it was Sunday morning, the panel, and it was the funniest moment. It was so funny. And you could tell Kyle really got thrown off on that.
The audience was like cracking up and Kyle was fuming.
Oh, hysterical. Oh, and by the way, and like the people that stood up for Teddy was like Anna Marie Wiley. And we didn't even know Anna Marie at the time. Beverly Hills wasn't even airing yet. And we're like, why are Anna, by the way, Anna Marie talked at that panel way too much. And we didn't even know who she really was. So we're like, why do you keep jumping in here? It was so weird. Okay, that's moving on to.
I was thinking about that. I was like, wait, the BravoCon audience did not know her. Like, shut up.
No, not well. I mean, we knew of her, but we did. Wait, by the way, Sophie, you got a little bit more time? Are you in a rush?
No.
Okay, good.
I got nothing.
Okay, because I do want to talk about one of my favorite viewing experiences this week. And I was so primed and it didn't let me down was this week's episode of The Traitors. I had been thinking about like, it really is like one of my joy filled viewing experiences. It has this mixture of like camp and kitsch and corniness, but then there's also this kind of fun gameplay, the interaction between reality stars of different genres, like everything just works for me. And it makes me feel good when I watch it, but they left it off on a cliffhanger last week where Mercedes Javid was the tie breaking vote of Peter or Phaedra going home. Phaedra is a traitor. They're trying to find the traitors. Peter has been a faithful, but there's suspicion on Peter. And it's down to Mercedes, and Mercedes writes down Peter to leave. What did you think about the traitors this week?
Loved that moment, obviously. I was really excited that Phaedra got to stay, but we all knew that like Phaedra's time was up at this point. Honestly, she was a dead woman.
Yeah, so Phaedra gets kicked out at the very end. But it is just, and by the way, what a beautiful, the CT thing with Phaedra. I started crying. I'm like,
I know.
When he was like, you know, listen, you know, you came here to be something completely opposite of who you are in the real world. And that's why you're the best traitor ever, you know, and Phaedra just goes,
the best traitors ever do it. And then she's
the best traitors ever do it. And she, I was like, is this like The Notebook? This is amazing. I was like crying almost because I thought, how, like, this is such a beautiful little moment.
Showing their chalkboard. What did she say when she showed that it was CT? She was like, just to get one back at you. And CT was like,
yeah, I got you, girl. I got you. Like, I want a rom-com. I want a CT Phaedra rom-com. Like
what Ben and Ronnie do when they do their CT impression. He's always like, go
what
pass.
Do they do?
Go pass.
What is it?
At the end of like every.
No, I love. But like, this is another, like, so Mercedes was on Jeff Lewis last week on the extended, which I'm going to be hosting on Tuesday, you guys. So listen. And Mercedes, I don't think she. This is might upset some people because I was kind of like, she wasn't the tie breaking vote. She wasn't the last vote. They edit like who she didn't say, but I on the Jeff Lewis show, she said like, oh, I wasn't the actual last one. They just made it look like I'm the last one.
They made it look like that one because that was the one that everyone was most unsure about.
Yeah. So that they like, that wasn't how like they edited. So I thought that was like kind of like a little interesting thing that I almost wish I didn't know.
That's a fun factoid.
A fun factoid. Yeah. But like, listen, they killed John, the British Parliament guy of like, you're a Duchess of Deception. Like he was gone. I love this is from Cassie. And Sheree getting like, Phaedra, you got to tell me, are you a traitor or not? Like to her face. And like, you can tell like, this is how deeply serious they take the game, which I love, is that you can tell Sheree was like very hurt that Phaedra lied to her.
Yeah. And you can tell Phaedra hated having to lie to her. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. But I will say one thing that I would love to change about like the format of the show is like there needs to be more of an incentive for voting out the traitors because I feel like there also is like a strategic thing there where it's like, well, I know this person is a traitor, but they're on my team. So like, I might as well keep them around. I feel like that's a kind of a flaw in the game.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, cause there is this element of.
Yeah. It's it needs to be like a bigger incentive. Like they kill a traitor. If they kill a traitor, there's going to be no murder that night, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the biggest, and I still don't really feel like there's like hard and fast rules for these games because one of the weirdest episodes for me when I was expecting a murder or like a roundtable discussion, and instead they went out into the woods. They went out into the woods and was able to like keep Peter in the game. And I was like, wait, I feel like this is like they're just making shit up to keep certain people around instead of following the rules. But even saying that, it is still one of the most enjoyable viewing experiences. They filmed the reunion this weekend, which I'll be very interested to see. And I just think it's great. Well, CT and Phaedra are sat next to each other at the reunion, which Andy Cohen is hosting. What's that?
The other showmans.
Olarza and Marcus?
No. No, Pete and Ek and Sue.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Pilot Pete and Ek and Sue, they are kind of a showman right Marcus. Now, you guys.
No, I forgot Larsa and Marcus were even like on this program.
I know.
Larsa and Marcus.
But think about it. I mean, God, there have been so many heavy hitters that like been in this, like that you kind of for like Tamara got killed early in the game.
That was that was kind of a disappointment because I liked her more in the Traitors than I've liked her. And she had like literally 2-3 talking heads the entire time. But yeah. I liked her more in those 2 talking heads than I did on like any season of the OC, honestly, in the past few years.
Yeah, I think with like the OC, and I've already seen like them film like a couple like scenes and not seen it personally, but seen like photos of it. And it looks like Tamara always just tries so hard on those shows where it's like, it's not a natural villain sometimes. It's what she thinks she has to do for the camera. And that's like, sometimes I just worry about that.
Right. But the Traitors is campy. So like, it's fine if people like, you know, are acting like that on the Traitors, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what totally. I'm it's all about tone. Yeah, no. So this next week, I think, is the season finale, if I'm not mistaken. It's like final night.
I'm
sad too. But like, who do you think's going to win? Because by the way, Kate at the very end, Kate voted against her fellow Traitor Phaedra to get her out, but she actually made kind of a slip up and said, what was it like, you play the game selfishly. And you see in the preview that Sandra from Survivor, who has braces, I'm Sandra and I have braces, she actually catches like that comment and goes to Kate of like, that's interesting you said that. And that's like potentially a big slip up for Kate Chastain to do, because why would you wouldn't know about that selfish thing unless you were a traitor working with a traitor, and then Phaedra plays selfishly. Sorry, are you still on the braces?
By the way, if you are an adult with braces, don't listen to him. It's perfectly.
No, listen, guys, I'm not really good at voices. So I recap the traitors on my Patreon, and I don't know how to do a lot of, like, I can only do like 5 voices. But so I was trying to find a way to do Sandra, and then I finally was just like, I'm going to talk like this. I'm going to find the traitors out there because I hear racist. Because I know that's like, so I love Sandra. I love Survivor. It's shitty.
Oh, but yeah. But yeah, agree with you, Kate, like giving herself away. That was Sandra's a 2-time Survivor champion.
I was 2-time Survivor champion. I took down Priority, and I'm going to take down Kate Chastain now. And so, I mean, I feel like she could win. Like, she could win this thing.
Sandra's trouble. So my question is, like, trouble for the Traitors. My question is, will Kate, like, she's not going to recruit. Like, how does it work? Like, she's not going to recruit a new traitor this late in the game.
No,
right?
But I will say, this is another thing that's weird about the game and the rules is, like, Kate got brought in halfway through the game. Like, should that even be legal? Like, I would be upset if I was some of the other people where they're just throwing in new cast members halfway through the game. I love Kate Chastain. Do not get me wrong. But I think it's almost kind of like, if I was playing the game, I would find that so weird that I would almost think in the back of my head, this person's a traitor immediately because they're brought back in.
Yes, but the way I've rationalized it in my mind is that Kate made it so far in season 1 and didn't win. Maybe it's like that's credited towards season 2. It's like, oh, she has, you know, competed in a lot of stuff to like deserve making it this far.
But I was trying to think of like why you think this show works so well. Like, it's like I was trying to like deluded of like what makes these winning combinations, like, because we've seen reality game show competition things that don't work at all.
Casting. I swear it's the casting of the season. Like, Phaedra has been incredible, like literally Emmy worthy. I think like they have enough Emmy categories at this point. They probably do have like a standout reality star of the year. Like,
well, listen, I think, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race has won the Emmy every year.
Yeah.
I think it could go to the Traitors this next year. Actually, I think it's that good.
They should have a top chef testant on one of the future.
Oh, seasons. You're right. And by the way, Top Chef's new season comes out, I think, this week, if I'm not, in the next couple weeks.
Oh my God, that's right.
A new season of Survivor came out this past week as well. They had a 2-hour episode. Then they're going to 1.5-hour episodes every Wednesday following. And I started watching Survivor again the last couple of years. I don't get to talk about it on the show, but I do love those gameplay shows. And because once you watch so much reality with Vanderpump and Housewives and stuff, it's good to actually, it's a really great palate cleanser to actually have competition shows where people are trying really hard to like outwit, outlast, outplay instead of just being a housewife.
Maybe I should get back into Survivor.
You should. I mean, try it. Like, see if it's something you and your dude will like. Because I think it's one of those great like shows.
Show. Like he loves the Raiders.
Oh, and it was a funny first episode because this guy is such a big idiot and thought he was playing the game so well, even though it, like the signs were all there that he wasn't. So it was really, it was great. But anyways, the Traitors, I think the finale is this week and then they'll have the reunion after that. You also had Real Housewives of Miami and you guys, Bravo did something really tricky where they did two parts of the reunion in 1 week. They aired the first part after the Beverly Hills reunion and the second part they aired on Thursday right before Summer House. It got really low ratings. And I just want to say, Real Housewives of Miami, I know it's another show that people have to add on, but it is so good. It's so ridiculous. They yell over each other. Some people might find that annoying, but I will say those ladies are giving their all. And I do think people should try to maybe on the off season get into Real Housewives of Miami because it is just very – the way they play is at a very high level. It might annoy you at first, but then if you, it reminds me of old Roni when they just all used to talk over each other and you could like listen to three different conversations and watch it three times and get three different things from it. So I want Real Housewives of Miami to come back. So consider watching the third part.
Well,
this
thanks
week.
For the homework.
Yeah, sorry, you guys.
No, but I actually have been meaning to get into Miami because I also was reading online, probably on Twitter. I'm like, I just keep like referencing. I'm not afraid to reference or not reference Twitter. But there was a tweet about how the Miami cast seems to be genuine friends.
Yes.
In light of Beverly Hills, how they were
co-workers.
Kind of admitting that
they're co-workers.
Co-workers, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it completely. Like, I would rather watch a show where they actually know each other right. and they actually are involved in each other's lives. I just think that's always going to be better casting for that kind of show. So, yeah, watch that, you guys. And then finally, Love is Blind will have its final episode this week before the reunion. Every time they fucking put Nick Lachey or Vanessa Lachey, I get like a jump scare because I'm like, what are you guys even doing here? Like, they'll just pop up like Nick's like, hey, here to help you with tuxedos. I'm like, why we don't need this.
Like, why
we
the
don't
fuck
need
are you
this.
Here?
Well, also, like, you can tell even the cast is like, who are you? Like, they don't even remember sometimes. They're like, who's this strange man in the tuxedo store? And what do you think of Love is Blind?
When I was wedding dress shopping for my wedding with Nick.
Wait. Have you've gone wedding dress shopping, right? You personally?
Oh yeah. I said yes to the dress recently.
Oh my God. Wow. Ah! Wait, did you cry?
Yeah. And I actually, oh my God, I'm sorry guys. I know no one cares.
No, but... Sophie, you know they care. People actually say all the time they want to hear wedding shit.
And we're just like interjecting it while talking about Love is Blind and the Traitors. Basically I tried on like a ton of dresses that I loved and I was like, am I supposed to have that? Like, this is the one moment where I like get chills and cry. I was like, I don't think I'm going to have that. And then when I tried on my dress that I ultimately ended up saying yes to, I like had that moment. Like they're right. Like that moment is like real.
Yeah, I love that. I really, and those are the things that you do got to remember. Wait, those are the moments in life. That. No, wait, I'm not joking. Why are you laughing?
No,
like, I like those. Like, those
I
are the moments.
Like, I was like, I know no one cares. And then Ryan, I could see Ryan falling asleep.
Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding me? I love actually hearing, I get really excited for you. What are you talking about? That's your own insecurity coming out right
I
there.
I know. It's my own insecurities coming. It just like, it makes me.
You're like Chelsea from Love is Blind.
It makes me uncomfy because you said that you were a homebody and that you didn't go out for drinks.
Okay, so Sophie's talking about Love is Blind. They had the craziest.
This is my Chelsea impression. And I saw this on TikTok. It's like, put your hair in a claw clip and go like, I'm sorry.
So Chelsea, by the way, had a couple drinks like Lindsay from Summer House. And then this guy, Jimmy, went out for like an hour and a half. And she like rails, like nails him to the wall of like, you said you're not a person that goes out and da 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 da. It was like they break up and then they like, she immediately like says, don't do this. And then they're back. Like, it's so ridiculous. And you got to like, you get really sucked into it, but like, you have to remind yourself at this point, they've only known each other 3 weeks. So it's like, don't feel too bad, but it's like, it's a mess of a show. And in fact, the best episodes are already aired. These final episodes, they're fine, but it's like, they're just kind of like, there's going to be two couples that are like potentially going to get married. We'll see if that works. Even three. Okay. Well, but Chelsea and Jimmy, they got to tell these people to stay off social media. This Chelsea is on social media all the time. And somebody found in like her glasses, Jimmy's reflection. So they are still together.
Oh God. Oh no. poor Jimmy. That was like, that scene actually was extremely like, that was like emotionally abusive. If you know what scene we're talking about, when he went to like a friend's, a bar to celebrate his
very normal,
like an hour, very normal thing to do. And she kept like moving the goalposts. She was like, well, you said that, you know, you were with her, that girl you fucked. Like apparently he had had sex with one of his like girlfriends.
One of the two girls that were like there in a scene.
Yeah, and he had told her off camera, like incompetence, not make it a thing on camera. And she brought it up on camera, which I think to me would be a deal breaker. Like that's so fucked up.
And I do think now that we just all got to put ourselves on tape and act like we're on reality shows all the time just to see how we actually do in relationships and how we behave, because it seems like it's a real telling moment how they behave on camera.
Oh my God. Well, I hope that like a normal person would have enough self-awareness to be like, wow, I'm the villain here. So like, I guess we'll see if Chelsea.
Yeah, does anybody actually learn from their behavior on reality television?
No.
Or do they just lean in further? And this Jeremy. He like went out with this other, like the other girl in the pods.
Sarah
and then like
Ann.
Sarah Ann, who then they're like jet skiing around his like ex that he was going to marry.
Yeah,
he's having the time of his life. He's a super weirdo. They're all weird, man. They're all wild. They're you can't take it too serious because they chose to find love in these pods. But it's really fun to watch.
So fucking weird. Like that is Jeremy is like probably like the most normal. Actually, like I love AD. I love AD.
I do too. And I, you know what, to tell you, what's AD's dude's name? I kind of like him too.
Clay. I like Clay and AD.
I like Clay.
I actually, you know what? I do like Amy and Johnny, even though, again, a little bit weird. You know, like, I'm just saying, I know that they've come out in their own defense about, like, condoms not feeling safe enough for them. But, like, it's like they live in, like, an alternate universe where condoms
don't, like, exist.
Don't exist.
Like, this guy's talking about getting his nuts snipped.
Like and pulling out, like, you're gonna be fine. Take it from me.
By the way, they have a baby immediately, and somebody's like, "I'm bad, my bad." And who is the dolphin lover that is not on the show anymore?
Oh, Kenneth.
Kenneth. Like, I'm still thinking about that. How he couldn't, like, he's like this principal, like, which is wild that a principal's on a reality show like this. But like, he's on his phone the entire time. They have the most weird conversation about not being right for each other, and then he gets back on his phone immediately, and he's like, well, gotta go. Like it was the weirdest scene.
That was so sad. And also like,
and she seemed awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Brittany seemed great. How many emails are you like answering as like a principal? Like
there must be a lot of principal work that goes into principaling.
Is there a lot of principal admin that like we're forgetting about? I don't know. It just seems like,
I'm curious. I'm going to keep an eye on Kenneth, cause I really want to know who Kenneth winds up in his life. Cause it seems like that, potential. I don't know. There seems to be something weird there. Who knows?
I see what you're putting out there. Yeah.
No, I know. I'm not putting out. I'm just saying.
We're not
that
speculating,
it's weird.
But yeah.
I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's everything, I think. The only other thing that was that Rihanna performed at a pre-party for an Indian wedding this weekend, and she got paid $6 million to perform a mini set list. And it wasn't the actual wedding. It was a pre-party for the wedding from these like Indian billionaires. And she actually did a full show. And I'm like, this is the fucking, like, is there any billionaires out there that would pay me and Sophie like $60 or $600 to do a live podcast at like a wedding? Like that would, this, like what amazing money. Like Beyonce did one in Abu Dhabi a couple years ago. And there's like the fees are astronomical. And it just shows you like how some people are just like have way too much money. But I was watching clips of Rihanna like twerking at this like Indian pre-party, and I was like, this is wild. That's better than the Super Bowl, by the way.
I mean, I'm pissed because that was like going to be my surprise for my wedding guests.
I know. Wait, who should we get? Who would be like equivalent or something? Somebody that I could afford for Sophie's wedding? I mean, maybe with like Counting Crows or something.
With like Nick Vile.
By the way, Nick, play your hits. Yeah. Nick just, he's like, why are you like that on reality television? What's going on?
I'm sure that I can't take anymore. Will you take a swing?
Nick Vile, the number one trusted source in reality podcasting.
Oh my God. Like, shut the fuck up.
I might do that. I might reach out to, or maybe I'll buy a cameo for your wedding from Nick Vile.
Oh
or
my
something.
God. Like, it's like house fund, honeymoon fund, maybe some new Le Creuset. And it's like Nick Vile cameo.
Nick Vile cameo. Wait, could you, wait, can you put those on wedding registries? Like cameos
absolutely.
From your favorite people?
I'm going to register for like various cameos, actually.
That's amazing.
wait, also Kate Middleton, but like
that. Oh yeah, wait. So like, wait. So the Royals are—they're all dead. What's going on? Like, they're like nobody's out in the public. Everybody's Kate speculating Middleton? On Kate Middleton. Kate Middleton, something's really wrong, and we're all making Twitter jokes about it.
I think something is really wrong, which is but it's like, why is it so secret? Is the thing. Like, I think that since there's been no proof of life, as one would say, to like qualm the rumors or whatever it is, quiet the storm, the media storm.
Yeah,
like. There's been no proof of life. And I think that the British media, at least, is they're not asking a lot of questions because they know it's really serious. But for some reason, they're not. And I'm not going to speculate. But like,
but didn't they already say she was going in for bowel surgery and she wouldn't be available until Easter?
But also everyone online is like, surgery recovery isn't like I've had that exact surgery. And like the recovery is not that. It's not like 3 months. Like. Something.
Well, by the way, the Royals all like go, you know, how the Royals actually work is like, it's all public events. They're always out in the public. That's what their whole job is to be out in the public doing these events. And now for four of the Royals, I mean, I guess Prince William is still out there doing minimum appearances, but you now have, you know, King Charles, Camilla Parker Bowles. They're not doing public events right now. We can't find Kate Middleton, and Prince William's on a limited schedule. So that's what they're freaking out. And of course, Harry and Meghan are here in the States, not doing any sort of active.
It would be nice to have a spare at a time like this, wouldn't it?
Oh my God. It is weird, but well, then also that one guy just like there was a suicide within the whole thing that they're also speculating about.
Pippa Middleton's ex-boyfriend was found shot dead and I guess had shot himself. But of course, now the rumors are swirling that he was perhaps offed and that he maybe had an affair with Kate and maybe this whole thing is because of an unwanted pregnancy. Like, there are just a lot of rumors, guys.
Is there any way we can tie this into Scandoval or Bethany Frankel's Reality Reckoning or, you know, like,
The Madam Web, like, poster? It's like, it's all connected to her.
It's all connected. I'm like, oh my God, we are on our phones way too much. Everything does feel connected. But so you have like all of this stuff happening in the royal family. And I forgot to ask Sophie at the very beginning because I know she's the biggest Timothy Chalamet fan. Did you Dune 2 it up this weekend? Did you see Dune 2?
I did not Dune 2 yet, but
I hear it's really good.
Like,
have you seen Dune 1?
Yes, I've seen Dune 1, but I didn't read Dune the book. So
I don't
like
think you need to read it to see the movie.
I know, but I feel like I don't know. I just get kind of like bored and confused during like long movies like that. But like how
I hear there's a shirtless scene with Timothy Chalamet if that sweetens the pot for you. His little skinny tiny frame.
Honestly, give me a Liam Neeson or Jason Statham franchise any day, you know?
Yeah. Well, by the way, because I texted Liam Neeson is taking over the Naked Gun franchise. And he's Leslie Nielsen. They used to do these movies in the 80s and 90s. And I thought they're so funny, slapstick. But Liam Neeson is going to take over the Leslie Nielsen part. And I think Liam Neeson is the perfect casting because he's so serious that he can make things funny.
Yeah, love Liam Neeson. Excited for that. Wait, did you watch The Beekeeper yet?
No. You saw that in the theater. Jason Statham's The Beekeeper.
Yeah,
you loved
and
it.
I watched it again yesterday. So like
you watched it two times. See, this is what cracks me up. Sophie's like I said, like laser like precision in her pop culture takes. And then the movie's like, it's like really wild. Cause it makes me almost think like, oh, I do need to like open up the palette of what I consider a movie and like rethink things. Cause you will watch what like a lot of people will just deem pure shit. And you love it.
Don't say that about The Beekeeper until you watch it. Okay.
Okay. But like it's like Sophie's Netflix choices, I'll always be like, who watches this? And then it's always Sophie. Like Sophie's always like, did you see the new Liam Neeson straight to Netflix movie?
Fool Me Once on Netflix. Like the British like stupid ass thrillers. wait, but also speaking of Dune 2, apparently it like is Timothée Chalamet's like biggest opening of his entire career. Which
It was $75 million opening weekend in the States. That's not even overseas. But they're saying that Dune, like they're saying this is like a really amazing film. So it actually, I think I'm going to go see this one in the theater because I want good films to be out there that you have to go to the theaters for.
Yeah, but I am too. And I also am really excited for next month's Civil War.
The Alex Garland film from A24? Yeah.
Yeah, with Kirsten Dunst and Jesse Plemons and who else?
The trailer looked insane. And a reminder, you guys, next weekend is the Academy Awards. Next weekend is the Oscars.
Right. That's right.
And also the time changes next week as well.
Wow. Oh my God. I can't believe all of this is happening while Lauren's away.
Do you think Tom Sandoval will present at the Oscars?
Wait, can you imagine?
Yeah, he's like, listen, this is something that I've always been very passionate about. Best costume design. I always take costuming so seriously, and I have storage facilities with certain lightsabers and Jedi costumes. But these five people have done it really rad this year, and hopefully I'll be able to work with them down the line. From the team of Wonka, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Tom's like, fucking subtitles? I can't watch this shit either. Okay, folks, that is it for today. I will say I'm out here for my best friend's birthday, the guy I've known since high school. We got into this long conversation last night where he's like kind of my older brother, and he gives me these kind of tough love things, and I don't really lean on people too much anymore or really kind of tell people how I feel because I'm always talking on a podcast. But I do want to take this opportunity to say to Sophie how much I do genuinely love you, and I'm so proud of you and the wedding, and I want to let you know how special you are to me, and thank you for this relationship, even though it's a podcasting thing, how important that is to me. And hopefully anybody, you out there this week, remind to go to the people that you love and tell them that you love them and that you appreciate them in your lives. And sometimes I have not done that in my own life, and I've got to remember to do that. So hopefully you'll go out there and do the same. So thank you, Sophie, for always being here with me in the show.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Thank you, Ryan. I love you more.
Gay. Stop being gay. Yeah, gay. But anyways, I just wanted to say that because I do appreciate you. So, and I'm so happy for you and the wedding.
Oh my God. Stop. I'm going to cry. It's mutual. Thank you to everyone listening. I really appreciate everyone. And I feel like my brain has been all over the place with wedding planning and everything. So I appreciate just everyone who listens and also reaches out to me and says that they, discovered me on Ryan's podcast and loves listening to us. It makes me appreciate, all the baddies.
And even the people that send hateful comments. Love the hateful comments as well. That's really also very moving to us as well. No, but anyways, thank you guys today. I hope you had some laughs. I know it was serious in the beginning with all the lawsuit stuff, but I hope you got some laughs out of this as well. And have a great week. Bye.
Yay.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.